Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to They Walk Among Us, a podcast dedicated to UK true crime. This is a case update. Please listen to Season 3, Episode 29 for more details. Listener caution is advised, as this episode contains adult themes and descriptions that some listeners may find distressing. On the morning of December 30th, 2013, 55-year-old mother and grandmother Valerie Graves was found bludgeoned to death at a friend's property in Bosham, West Sussex, on the south coast of England. Earlier that morning, a sister went into the bedroom where Valerie was sleeping to see if she was awake, as it was getting late. Janet found Valerie in bed unresponsive. Valerie's face and head were covered in blood. Emergency services were notified, and paramedics rushed to the property, finding that Valerie had suffered significant head and facial injuries. At the time, it was reported there were no immediate signs of a struggle, and it was determined that she had died from severe cerebral trauma. The property where Valerie was staying is called Hove 2, located a few miles south from the built-up village centre. The sizeable 6-bedroom home sits on Smuggler's Lane and lies off the beaten track. Valerie's friends, the Chamberlain family, own the property but were out of the country over the Christmas period on holiday in Costa Rica with their children. The Chamberlains had asked Valerie to house it, and along with her extended family, she had been at the home since December 23rd. Valerie was born on Christmas Day, and much like every year, her birthday was celebrated in the morning and Christmas festivities followed in the afternoon. Valerie's two adult children, Tim and Jemima, left after the celebrations had ended, and Valerie had planned to ring in the new year with her mother Eileen, a 60-year-old sister Janet, and Janet's partner, 59-year-old Nigel Akers. The bedroom where Valerie was found had one external door, which was unlocked, leading onto a patio at the back of the house. Heavy rain flooded the fields, and a river had burst its bank, which made the search for clues even more difficult, as water would have likely washed away some of the trace evidence. The unsolved murder was featured on BBC's Crime Watch, with a reconstruction of Valerie's last movements along with a fresh appeal for information. Posters were put up all around Bosham, in the hope someone might have spotted an individual fleeing from the scene in the early hours. At the time, the most common consensus in the press was a random break-in during the Christmas period had resulted in Valerie's death. A reward of £10,000 was offered by both Crime Stoppers and Sussex Police. Shortly after the killing, officers searching the village of Bosham found a rusty claw hammer at the entrance of Hart's Farm on Ho Lane, around 600 metres from the property where Valerie was found dead. A partial DNA profile was extracted from the hammer, which, although degraded, could be used to rule suspects out of the investigation. The sample suggested the contributor was male. Under Operation Ensign, Sussex Police completed one of the most significant mass DNA screenings in its history. Still, by December 2018, the fifth anniversary of the murder, they were no further forward with capturing the person responsible. Nearly 10,000 people had been interviewed, and close to 3,000 men had been tested. Every single one was ruled out. Police believed it possible that a family member or someone from Valerie's past could have committed the murder, but thought it just as likely it may have been a stranger. While Valerie's family never gave up hope, it seemed as though police had exhausted every line of inquiry. The killer appeared to have committed the perfect murder, and Valerie Graves' death would forever remain a mystery. That was until July 10th, 2019.
A 28-year-old man has been arrested in Romania over the murder of Valerie Graves, who was found dead in her bed in 2013. The man was detained on a European arrest warrant over the murder of the 55-year-old grandmother who was house-sitting for friends in Bosham and West Sussex. Sussex police have said that he will now appear in court to face extradition proceedings.
Masked officers from the Romanian National Police, supported by British detectives, arrived at a flat owned by father of two, Cristian Sabu, who lived in Dej, a municipality in northwestern Romania, to action an EAW, authorised by a district judge in the UK.
Inside his flat, Cristian Sabu, 28, wearing an England shirt, was put in handcuffs and told why he was being detained.
Well, Sussex, I was reduced to Valerie Graves.
This development on the other side of Europe, 1,500 miles away from the investigation in Sussex. Valerie Graves was found dead in bed in 2013.
Cristian Sabu was taken into custody, and his extradition was sought through the Romanian courts. On his way to the proceedings, only days later in Cluj-Napoca, he was surrounded by reporters and cameramen. Sabu did not contest the application to extradite him to the United Kingdom, and during the hearing he told the court about Valerie. "I did not mean to harm her. It was an accident. I never did any harm in my life. Someone told me there was a lot of money in that house. I never went there to kill someone. She was sleeping in bed. She woke up and she surprised me. I panicked. I had a hammer with me. I did not mean to harm her." Sabu was asked if he had anything to say to the family of the victim. He said, "Yes, I want to apologise. I am really sorry. I was under the impression there was no one in the house. I was 21. I was very immature. I did not have much money, and it was my first time in England. She had been lying in bed, and when she woke up, she surprised me and I panicked. I never meant to kill anybody. I want my wife to know what happened. It was an accident. I thought everybody was away." The judge ruled that Sabu could be extradited. However, it was agreed, as Sabu had requested, that if jailed, he would serve his sentence in a Romanian prison. John Fanner, a detective chief inspector with the Sussex Police, provided a statement regarding Sabu's arrest and the work undertaken to confirm Sabu's involvement in the crime. DCI Fanner said, "This is a major development in our task of achieving justice for Valerie and her family. It follows detailed inquiries in Romania by officers from the Surrey and Sussex Major Crime Team, in which we were assisted by valuable liaison with local law enforcement officers of the General Police Inspectorate, Criminal Investigations Directorate Bucharest, the Criminal Investigation Service in Cluj, and the Special Operations Brigade in Cluj, also the local prosecutor. We have worked closely with the Crown Prosecution Service throughout, and they have authorised the prosecution. We have also had valuable support from the National Crime Agency's overseas network. We now hope to ensure, subject to the decision of the Romanian courts and judicial authorities, Sabu's return to this country for an appearance before magistrates with a view to his being sent for Crown Court trial. This is a major development in our task of achieving justice for Valerie and her family. But now the case is before the courts. Proceedings are active, and we are not in a position to disclose any further information at this time. Media and public are reminded that proceedings are active, and therefore no comment on or opinion about the case should be published or broadcast in news or social media at this time." Christian Sabu arrived on British soil, landing at Heathrow Airport on Friday, July 19th. He appeared before Brighton Magistrates Court, saying little as the charge of murder was read to him. Looking somewhat unkempt with stubble clearly visible on his chin, Sabu stood in the dock as two security officers gave him little room to move. Through an interpreter, he said he understood the charge and confirmed only his name, age, and nationality. Dressed in dark clothing, Sabu appeared at a further hearing in Lewis Crown Court, with a plea and case management hearing due in September and a trial provisionally scheduled for January 2020. George Hepburn Scott, an expert immigration and extradition barrister, told the court, "There will be no dispute that the defendant inflicted the blows that caused the death of the deceased. We are seeking to instruct a psychiatric consultant as they want to explore forensic issues in the case, so ultimately there may be a guilty plea." While a suspect had been found, and it seemed as though Valerie's family might finally see justice after all this time, questions still remained. Who was Christian Sabu? What link did he have to Valerie Graves? And how was he ultimately brought to the attention of the police?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Cristian Sabu was raised in northern Romania. He had dreams of moving abroad, possibly America or even Australia. He first travelled the 1,200 miles southwest past Hungary, Slovenia and Croatia, arriving in Italy. From Italy, he went to the United Kingdom. He struggled to find work, sleeping rough before getting a job at a car wash, then a scrapyard. Sabu made a caravan his home on an industrial site near the Chichester area close to the A27 and around 5 miles from the scene of the crime. Sending for his wife, she too travelled over to the UK to live with him and became pregnant with the couple's first child, and a second followed soon after. Cristian furthered his employment in the UK with a better paid job in construction. When his wife returned to Romania now and again with the children, Sabu made sure he sent her money every week, though he was still struggling financially. While Sabu worked in construction, he desired to follow an entirely different pursuit. After his arrest, Sabu's father, Varel, was interviewed by journalist Tony Diver, writing for The Telegraph. He spoke about what his son was passionate about. "He liked animals when he was a kid," Varel said. "He liked snakes and wanted to have a farm with vipers to collect the venom from them to make money. He was an extraordinary kid, and everyone liked him. He was helpful, and he was eager to be with others. He was good-tempered." Sabu's father was shocked when he found out what his son had done. Cristian Sabu lived near Bosham when he was in the UK, and accompanied by a friend, he ended up doing some work at the home of the Chamberlain family, who owned the large property on Smuggler's Lane. Upon hearing they were going on holiday, he decided to burgle the home as no one was meant to be there. Or at least that's what he thought. Sabu had remained in the UK for several years after the murder, returning to Romania during October 2018. He had not been a person of interest in the crime. It was not until a month before he left the UK that the investigating officers received an email from an individual in Romania suggesting he might be responsible. The person who contacted the police was Sabu's estranged wife, Claudia. Almost 5 years after the murder, the pair were going through a rough patch in their relationship when she discovered he had been unfaithful. She also noticed when using his phone that he often searched for news updates about the murder, so she confronted him about it, as she knew he had been in the area of Bosham and recognised the hammer pictured in news articles, which had gone missing around the time of the crime. Sabu admitted to what he had done, but threatened his wife. She contacted police soon after, when he left the country. In February 2019, a European investigation order was obtained to investigate Cristian Sabu's potential involvement in the murder of Valerie Graves. When Cristian Sabu appeared at a hearing before Lewis Crown Court on Remembrance Day, Monday, November 11th, 2019, a poppy was pinned to his beige sweatshirt. He pleaded guilty to the murder of Valerie Graves between the late evening of December 29th and the early morning hours of December 30th, 2013. Philip Bennett's QC for the Crown told the court that during the investigation, even members of Valerie's own family had come under suspicion. With the property valued at almost £2 million, and being told by someone close to him that there was likely gold and plenty of cash in a safe, Sabu planned to cycle to the house that night, break in, and pocket what he could find. Drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels before he left, to provide himself with some Dutch courage, as this was his first burglary. From the back patio of the property, Sabu opened an unlocked door into one of the bedrooms. The would-be burglar panicked when Valerie woke up. Armed with the hammer, Sabu struck her multiple times as she tried to defend herself. Her injuries were not previously mentioned by police or the media. The noise of the attack did not wake up the other sleeping occupants of the house due to the layout and size of the home. Sabu then fled, cycling back to his lodgings and discarding the hammer on Ho Lane. Philip Bennett's QC spoke about the extensive injuries to Valerie's head. "The level of force used was extreme," he said, "not dissimilar from the forces experienced during road traffic collisions." The sequence of events leading to the police being notified were recounted to the court, with Philip Bennett's QC explaining that Sabu's former partner noticed that he had been Googling details of the crime and became extremely animated when he was asked about what he was looking at. Claudia Sabu would later give an interview to the Daily Mail. She said, "I saw on the Google history murder in Bosham and Hammer. I showed him the phone and asked him, 'What is this all about?' There was a picture of the hammer on there, and I asked him, 'Isn't this the hammer you had in England?' I knew it. I'd seen it there. I told him then and there I wanted to break up. He said, 'Don't break up with me, and keep your mouth shut.' I told him I would not break up with him, and waited until he left to return to England." The police were notified about Sabu's involvement in September 2018. Worried, Claudia kept contacting the police over the following months, unsure of what would happen next, as the mass DNA screenings ended in December 2018. Sabu was later placed under surveillance for several months, and a sample of his DNA was retrieved in April 2019. Once the DNA was acquired, his profile matched that of a partial sample obtained from the hammer found near the scene. It also matched a sample found on the bedroom door handle, and more importantly, on the victim's hands as well. This suggested that the police may have had a full profile all along, as this was never mentioned by the constabulary during their press interviews, and nothing was said to the media to indicate there was anything other than a partial DNA profile on the hammer. During mitigation, Karim Fuad QC, acting on behalf of Sabu, appealed to the judge for a lenient sentence, saying there was, quote, "no light at the end of his tunnel." The defense counsel went on to say, "By the defendant pleading guilty to murder, not only has he spared the long-suffering family and friends of Miss Graves the extra and continuing emotional pain of a trial, but with that plea today comes a formal and public acceptance of genuine criminal responsibility for his dreadful actions that day." On sentencing Christian Sabu to 23 years and 272 days, Judge Christine Lang QC said it was pure greed, cowardice, and lack of morality that led him to kill. "Rather than simply running away in the hope you could not be identified by a woman waking from sleep, you conducted this horrific attack on Miss Graves," the judge said. "It was your dishonesty and greed that took you to the house. It was your cowardice and lack of morality that caused you to kill Valerie Graves. Valerie Graves was a much-loved mother, grandmother, daughter, sister, and friend. She celebrated her 55th birthday on Christmas Day. Extreme bruising and fractures to her hands show that in the final moments of her life, she had desperately tried to defend herself from you. I'm quite satisfied that it was a sustained attack, and the terror and trauma for her in the final few moments of her life is unimaginable. So where are we now? Christian Sabu's conviction would bring to a close one of the longest-running murder hunts in Sussex police history. DCI Fanner, the senior investigating officer, spoke about the crime and Valerie's family.
The murder of Valerie Graves in December 2013 was one of the most challenging and complicated investigations in Sussex police for many years. But we never gave up hope that we would achieve justice for Valerie and her family. My team have been dedicated and tenacious over the last 5.5 years to bring Sabu to justice, and it's right that I give them thanks for all of their hard work. I'd also like to pay tribute to Valerie's family, who have remained dignified and very supportive of the police team throughout the entire investigation. Nothing would bring Valerie back, but the family have now been able to see her killer admit what he has done and face justice. They can now move forward with their lives while thinking back of the happy times that they spent with Valerie, who was their loving mother, grandmother, and sister.
In a statement after the trial, Valerie's family said, "This has been a devastating experience for the whole family, and today we feel that justice has finally been served. We have had to endure 6 years of waiting, not knowing if anyone would ever be brought to justice for this cowardly act. Val, our mum, was very much loved by our family and is sorely missed by all of us."
"Mum was a kind and caring person who had little conflict in her life. Her murder was incomprehensible to us all. Mum's murder still remains deeply distressing, and we find it hard to understand why he chose to take her life in this manner."
The statement continued, "You took away our mum, who was always a sister, daughter, gran and friend to many, a life of someone who can never be replaced. Sadly, Val's mother passed away, never knowing that justice has been served. We hope that while he is serving his sentence, he will reflect on the actions he took and what this has done to our family." Thank you for listening to They Walk Among Us, and a special thanks to our Patreon supporters. For more information on how you can support the podcast from only $3 a month, or a few pounds if you're in the UK, head to patreon.com/ They Walk Among Us. There you'll be able to hear season one, which is not available anywhere else, and access ad-free episodes a few days before their general release. For more information on this episode, please see the show notes or visit our website, theywalkamonguspodcast.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.